This episode of Let the Hate Flow Through You is brought to you by Chris Clem.
Oh no, it's Gojira.
No, that is a no wizard.
Oh, it's just a fat Midwestern goober.
What you want, fat man? Micah Bowser? Here in New Orleans. Go away.
A Mike Bowser.
Very powerful wizard.
Meanwhile, in the Big Easy.
Boy, oh boy. I sure do enjoy being a writer down here in New Orleans. Nothing could ever bring me down. Oh no! It's Chris Clem! You will not destroy my village, you beast! Be gone with you back to Chicago! Oh no, he's too powerful! Curse you, giant! Your precious PH Comedy Theater will not survive the month! Ha ha ha! You'll never make another house team, you brute! Enjoy your sports ball minicast, sucka!
That's Chris Clem!
This is Nick Urich, and you're listening to Let the Hate Flow Through You with Jeremy Shear and El Jordano Diablo.
Welcome to Let the Hate Flow Through You, your weekly dose of audible hatred. I'm Jeremy Shear,
El Jordano Diablo,
and this week we tackle an entire social network. How can we do that? You'll find out. Joining us this week is actor, comedian, filmmaker, and all-around Renaissance gentleman, Alex DeCorville.
Welcome.
Hi.
Thanks for coming on.
Hey, thanks
and
for having me.
Short notice, too. I appreciate that.
Yeah. So, Alex, why do you hate Tumblr?
Well, as I've talked about in my act, The List of DeCorville, I cannot stand Tumblr memes. Like, first of all, I'd like to point out, like, every now and then I see these paragraph-long, like, screeds of somebody saying something or conversations. You know, I thought the point of, like, memes and putting pictures on social media was to give people the short version.
Yeah, you would think that, but part of the appeal of Tumblr is the conversation that goes on as you share it, which can lead to a different kind of joke, but a lot of times it's just annoying. Like, do you just see the Tumblr memes when they're shared to your Facebook?
Yeah, 9 times out of 10, that's the source of them.
Yeah. See, I am on, like, the Tumblr app, and when you have to scroll down for, like, 5 minutes to get to the bottom of it, that's annoying. And a lot of times when it's the pornography, it's just different accounts reblogging it and saying 18 plus. And it's like, what are you? We know.
I was going to say, I mean, I'm only on the dark side of Tumblr.
Yeah. We use Tumblr for pornography.
Yeah, I mean, I mean, and I've said this before on the show. I strictly use Tumblr for pornography.
I also use it to promote the shows.
But I mean, I'm not even that much anymore. But like, it's insanity. It's got everything I want. You know?
Yeah.
It's just got everything I want. So I have an affinity for Tumblr, but only that part of it. You know, I only ever see shit shared from it, like, on Facebook.
Yeah.
And it's never the porn. Like, nobody's sharing Tumblr porn on Facebook. I mean, at least not on my feed.
No, that's not. So is it like meme pages that you're seeing this on, or your friends?
It's friend pages. The only page that I've ever actually seen anything on was like Doctor Who and the TARDIS shared Tumblr memes. It's like, ugh.
Yeah.
I must confess, I was invited to like that after I liked one of their posts, but I thought, ugh, if you're going to share that some sort of thing, I will like other Doctor Who pages. Thank you very much.
Well, I don't blame you, but Doctor Who is a huge part of Tumblr. You go on there and can you pass me that?
Yeah.
I'll bring up the app.
Hide your feed.
I don't have that. I don't have the porn. The porn I search for manually.
Oh, okay.
It's not on my feed.
It's always there for me.
Yeah, no. Because I don't want somebody to go and see like blogs that I follow and it's all like cam girls, which is pretty much what I go on here for. But it's a lot like Instagram. You know, they got the hashtags here. But at the bottom here, like, you can click on, so, like, you find the Doctor Who tag, if it is the, so, you go to Doctor Who, and, oh my god, did he forget something, because I don't have time for that, and then you'll just, it's nothing but Doctor Who content, and you see, like, a lot of this isn't reblogs and shit, it's just original content, but the stuff that gets shared Facebook. No, I think it's okay, dude.
Okay, I'm just making sure.
Yeah. The stuff that gets shared to Facebook is the constant like what's the most common phrase you see like after somebody's name? Like always reblog.
Yeah, I must confess I very rarely actually read what they say because one reason I hate Tumblr memes so much is no one's ever said this, but I get the vibe that, you know, people think this is like the wisdom of the streets, you know, forget Homer, forget Socrates. These are the people, you know, they're not on some ivory towers. They're speaking the real wisdom. It's like, no, they're not. 9 times out of 10, most Tumblr memes I've seen is just somebody explaining the joke.
Yeah, that is a lot of what happens. I think, I don't know. I think Tumblr users, you must have to break it down for them. the joke is that the guy said a thing, but it's actually this thing, and that's irony. Tumblr. Mostly what I'm seeing reblogged on my feed now, and it's partially my fault because I don't know if you've noticed this in your internet travels, but a lot of people have their Tumblr identity, and it's separate from their...
An ex-girlfriend of mine did that.
Yeah. So I follow a couple people that their Tumblr identity is radical feminist. So a lot of what they reblog is like radical feminist memes and like the reblogs explaining how fucked up a situation is based on identity politics. And yeah, I probably shouldn't have followed these people, but it does keep me in the loop as what are these people thinking? Know your enemy.
I kind of see that because on my Facebook, I'm generally quite mum about my political views. Like, I might share something political if it's really, really funny. Mm-hmm. Like I saw a picture of that Simpsons character who was that black comedian on The Simpsons who was describing how, and it was juxtaposed with pictures of Obama and Trump driving exactly like he described. It's like, okay, I can't resist this, but
white people drive like this, do-do-do-do-do-do. Black people drive like this, do-do-do-do-do. Yeah.
But yeah, other than that sort of thing, I don't talk about my political views that much on Facebook because I know it's just going to start a shitstorm. I don't feel like getting involved. And like, I liked when a friend of mine posted a political statement, something political on Facebook, and he got into an argument. And boy, did that get heated. And it's all because I liked something.
Yeah, that's something that's been happening recently, especially like artist pages. You tend to go public with everything you do, right? So people notice when you like things and then they can jump on it and ruin everything.
I don't give a shit what anybody else thinks about, like, what I like and don't like. If I like it, I mean, it's part of my brain, you know? So if it shows up in your feed and you don't like it, too fucking bad.
I never see something that says Jordan Patrick like this.
No?
No, I think you have everything set to friends only.
No, I thought mine was, like, I thought mine... I mean, I don't care either way, because, like, I thought mine was completely public, but I, like...
Yeah, it's...
If it isn't, it's a mistake, because I don't give a shit what people... It would mostly be wrestling stuff, wrestling-related memes and shit. Like, that's what people would see me like.
Yeah.
Like, sure. Chris Jericho said this today.
Yeah.
That would be my...
That's...
I don't watch porn on Facebook. I don't think they have that.
If only...
I've never searched.
Yes, I tend to be reluctant about posting wrestling stuff on Facebook. Because honestly, I'm worried about that being like some kind of scarlet letter. But the way I see it, I've posted a lot of my pictures with wrestlers, like my picture with Kurt Angle and AJ Styles. For me, it's like, the way I see it, the people who are going to judge me won't know who those people are anyway. So yeah. Screw them.
No. I didn't know we had a fellow wrestling fan.
Yeah, we do.
Okay, all right.
Where do you think the list of DeCorville came from?
Yeah, but I don't think it's a scarlet... Is it a scarlet letter in the acting community to like wrestling? Because amongst
comedians... I know a lot of actors that like wrestling.
Oh, yeah, dude. Like, it's getting pretty big again.
No, I'm mostly worried about it being girl repellent.
My girlfriend doesn't watch my three... She doesn't give a shit about my three favorite things, Batman, Star Wars, and wrestling, and she's the only person I want to be with, so... And vice versa, so I'm not worried about that.
It was a big deal when I was in my last relationship.
Yeah, really?
Yeah, she didn't like wrestling. She didn't understand that I wanted to fall asleep watching SportsCenter every night. Because that was how I had to go to sleep. And she didn't like video games.
Okay.
So, and she didn't like that I wasn't making money at comedy. So, I was making money, but it was all going to gas. So, it was just what it was. I mean, no, I don't think it's girl repellent anymore. There are girl wrestling
fans. Yeah, especially with the whole women's revolution thing, it's become like more... Like, they get that, like, that's, like, one of my favorite parts of the show now, is getting to watch Charlotte Flair. Like, she's fantastic.
Yeah, it used to be my banner pick on Facebook forever. Well, I can think of one woman who's into wrestling, because she is a wrestler. I was working on a film earlier this year, and people didn't quite realize I was being sarcastic when I kept referring to Becky Lynch as my future wife.
She's gorgeous.
Yeah. Yeah, they were... I was on set with them the next
day. I think I've said the same thing about her.
I was on set the next day, and they were like, this is Alex's fiancé?
Oh, my... Yeah. This woman with bright orange hair is... No.
No.
No. Yeah, one of my friends is a diehard Becky Lynch fan, and he knew I was kidding, too. But when I posted that on Facebook, he's like, oh, I hope Charlotte's still on the market.
Yeah. I think she's not.
No, I think Charlotte's married.
Yeah.
I'm pretty sure she's married.
But even on Tumblr, I mean, you can find WWE stuff on there, too, and it's not just men that are sharing it.
I mean, okay. Look at BJ, Colangelo. I mean, she's one of the biggest wrestling fans I know.
Yeah.
Former guest of the show.
Former guest of the show, BJ Colangelo, big wrestling fan.
Filmmaker, LA bigwig.
Yeah. I'm looking down to try to prove my point, and now it's just the Tumblr meme has gone insane. There's too much text. And exactly.
Further proving my point.
Yeah, you're... Oh, Becky Lynch has her own Tumblr.
You know, for the longest time, I didn't realize Tumblr was used for anything but porn.
Yeah, it's it's animated GIFs.
Hey, it's not called Cumblr, but there is a page called Cumblr.
Is there?
Guess what they show on that one?
Cum?
Yeah, and a bunch of it.
Okay. I'm not into cum, but I'll take a look.
Yeah,
at it.
I have discussed this with friends. If I don't know what something is sexually, I don't want to know, and I just smile and nod.
No, dude, somebody at work yesterday was trying to get me to look up the angry dragon, and I was like, all I asked was, does it involve a punch? And they were like, yeah, how'd you know that? I'm like, because I'm not an idiot, and I can figure out what the fuck it is. They're like, just Google it. I'm like, no, I'm not gonna. I don't want to.
How is that hot?
I don't know. That's not in my wheelhouse, so I don't know.
Yeah.
But you can't see me, folks, but I am, in fact, smiling and nodding.
Yeah, that's probably for the best. No, we've been criticized before for being kink negative or kink shaming or something.
Yeah, whatever.
But hey, I'm not into it. That doesn't mean that you can't be. It's just
not my thing.
Not my thing. Whatever you want to do, okay with me. But
stay out of your fucking bubble.
Yes, just stay out of my bubble. And I
there's cum everywhere in this bubble.
Icky. Icky, icky, sticky. Oh. Yeah, that's a lot of what Tumblr is to me, is just lots of icky and sticky. Well, there were a lot of drug blogs I follow too, because
what? That's a thing?
Yeah. It's
what do they do?
The people will write trip journals, which is always fascinating to me.
Okay.
And then dumb people will post pictures of their drugs. Which is not something you'll find on Facebook. You can find it on Tumblr, and you can find it apparently on Snapchat. Which
did you see? They out that that rapper died. That kid, Lil Peep. I didn't know who he was. I'd never heard of him before, but it was everywhere. And the girl that sold him the drugs that he overdosed on, they like found her and fucking doxed her. And this kid I know, who's like a SoundCloud rapper, posted it. And I was like, all I commented on it was, shit, I thought he was ugly. Look at that nose on her. Of course she does drugs. If you've seen the picture, you'll know exactly what I'm talking about.
Well, are you a little Peep guy, Alex?
No.
Strictly Eazy-E, right? Method Man?
Yeah. Yeah, you could put it that way. I was gonna say that my music tastes are as white as you can get, but I did see... Straight Out of Compton, and people are surprised when they find out that I actually listen to NWA and Public Enemy.
Oh, dude, both great.
Yeah. Fantastic. I did enjoy me some NWA when I was younger. Now it's not the time to separate the artist from the actions, so I'm iffy about it now. You know, Dr. Dre did give people a few swats, and I'm iffy about that. And
Flava Flav dropped crack on MTV.
Well, that he dropped crack. I mean, I smoked crack. Who cares? You know, it's oh no, you smoke crack. You have cheap cocaine. Oh, what a shame.
You ever smoked crack cocaine before?
Yes. Many times.
I remember the last time we were recorded here, we were somehow drugs got brought up, and somehow crack and meth got brought up, and I was like, what's better, crack or meth? And Sheer was just, without it, like, missing a beat, just goes, meth.
Yeah. I'm an uppers guy, though. You know, drugs aren't for everybody, but, you know, part of the appeal of Tumblr, I think, is especially when you're younger.
When were you younger?
A long time ago. I am hypothesizing here. So
go ahead.
So here's a question for you, Alex. When you were looking for content on the internet for the first time, where did you look?
It's kind of a tough call because I don't actually... When you say, like, looking for content, what do you mean?
I mean, like, you find a thing that you're really into and you want to find out more about it, whether it's a band... wrestling, a movie, like where do you go to find more information about it?
Kind of depends. Google tends to be where I look a lot. Mm-hmm. If I want to hear about a band or something else, I might go to YouTube because, like, you know, easiest way to find their music.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. So with Tumblr, because the user base is really young. And, you know, what you'll find is it's a a community will get created around these hashtags, and they'll start blogs devoted to their fandom. And that's where you'll find like people posting. Like when I'm looking for like an animated GIF that I don't have, I go to Tumblr first because I know somebody there has to have made it. And because that's just, you know, it's where you can find, you know, stuff about your fandom like pretty quickly. You're giving me this look like
I have no idea what the fuck you're talking about because I use Tumblr for porn. Like, I literally got nothing besides that. It's just the facts right now. I'm like, oh, wait, there's other things. There's other communities. Like, I'd say one out of every 1,000 posts I see is not porn related. So, I'm just fascinated. So, I'm just looking at you like, wow, this other thing exists. It's just that's where I'm at right now, and I'm drunk and not drunk. I'm buzzed and stoned, so It's even more interesting. I'm like, oh, really?
He got kind of high, got kind of drunk.
Yeah, right. I'm like Ricky from the Trailer Park Boys. I'm both.
I want to be Mr. Leahy so I can die.
Rest in peace, man. Not you. You need to stay alive at least for 40 more episodes.
40 more episodes.
Aren't we close to 60?
We're getting close. We're getting close. So what's your experience with the local wrestling scene?
I've been to like one or two indie shows. I think I was at Northeast Ohio Wrestling. I forget the name of it now, even though I like the page. The only show I went to this year was a house show in Canton. A WWE house show in Canton where I almost got my neck broken while trying to meet Roman Reigns.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
How'd that happen?
Well, as some of you may or may not know, it is... I talked to someone else about this. I talked to Ray Highclack about that, about what happened.
Former guest of the show, yeah. Ray Highclack.
He told me it's perfectly okay to go up to the guardrail after a show is over. But some guy grabbed me by the neck, threw me about 3 rows back, said, and I quote, "Stay in your fucking place."
Wow.
Wow.
That was a security guy?
No, it wasn't security. It was just somebody who bought a ticket.
Oh, a fan.
That's ridiculous.
Yeah, I feel like the wrestling scene, not everybody, because it's not always going to be everybody. I feel like the wrestling scene has become more woke in the last couple years and, you know, more accepting of everybody and not assholes. They're still assholes.
Yeah, there are still assholes.
Well, that's what Ray warned me, that even though I was in the right, that sort of thing can be expected.
Really?
Yeah.
Wow.
That's ridiculous.
Like, we're all here to meet the same dude.
Yeah.
You know?
I mean, that's generally what I did, and I went to indie shows. Like, my indie show fandom was 1999 to 2001 out in California. I got to see Dilip Singh when they first, the Great Khali, when they first brought him over, like he was still training. It was before he killed a guy.
You make it like everything you just said, this is how high and where my brain's going. You made him sound like a runaway Indian slave. Like first they brought him over and he was training and then he killed a guy.
They put him on TV after he killed a guy. I couldn't. You know, it was...
Sorry, I had to go there.
But how I ended up, like, meeting all the wrestlers is I made my own merch. Mm. And then they saw that I did that. And so, like, they became friendly.
Yeah, it reminds me of the first Ring of Honor show I ever went to. First wrestling show I ever went to. All the way in Dayton. I got to meet Jerry Lynn because he
cool.
was at
oh,
the
that's
show.
Very cool.
And yeah,
the new effing show.
Oh yeah, yeah. I got to meet the new effing show and the whole effing show because Rob Van Dam was at that show last year. I got to meet him.
Hell yeah,
yeah.
He seems like a cool dude. Like, he seems like he's just happy to be there.
Yeah, he was so friendly too. Like he was. Yeah, he could have his own Let the Hate Flow. He was talking about people who bombard him at airports.
Mm.
As some of you may or may not know, that's something that is a tacky subject. Like, I have a friend. Like, so many wrestlers get this reputation for being jerks, even though people bombard them at airports. Like, I have a friend who dislikes Sasha Banks, and even he took her side that he thinks it's unfair that people think she's mean because she was rude to that guy who went to her, who
Yeah, I know what you're talking about. People think she's like, people have said cross things about her. And it's like, no, dude, like, she, like, what I've tried to, because my dad used to take, I've talked about it on this show before. My dad used to take me to meet the wrestlers and shit. Like, when I was a kid, I had Scott Hall take me around the bar at the Marriott in Cleveland and introduce me to, you name them from Nitro in 1996, I fucking met them.
Oh, wow.
And it was really cool. Kevin Nash was drunk as a skunk. It was one of the, like, I told, I don't know if I told this story on the podcast, but I did tell it when he died recently, Bobby the Brain Heenan.
Oh, wow.
Eric Bischoff, Scott Hall took me over to meet Bobby the Brain Heenan, and he was sitting at a bar, at a table behind the bar. And so I walked over to him, and I had this Pro Wrestling Illustrated that had the Outsiders on the cover. And so I was like, Mr. Because I mean, I grew up on Bobby Heenan, fucking love Bobby Heenan. And I was like, hey, Mr. Heenan, will you sign this? And he's like, absolutely. And he reaches out, he's like, here you go. And he goes, now give me a five. And I gave him five. And he goes, I meant $5. Like, totally did a Bobby Heenan heel move. And it was awesome. And, like, I get that. Like, I was a kid then, though. Like, I would never go wait out at the fucking, like, as much as I would love to have a beer with Chris Jericho, I'm not going to go sit at the bar until he comes down there. Because that's an invasion too. Of his, really?
Yeah.
He's my favorite of all
time. He had a signing at FYE a few years ago.
Fozzy signing or?
Yeah, he was. Yeah, you had to buy the album to get the autograph.
Cool.
Sadly, it was years before I ripped off his shtick with the list of DeCorville.
Okay.
Yeah, I mean, that was a more recent thing. I used to write promos in a Chris Jericho voice when I was doing like the foam fight.
You idiot!
I was the Ayatollah of Break Your Bola because I had a thing against stoners back then.
Yeah. Well, if you haven't seen it yet, I actually got a Sweeney Todd wig and did an entire set as broken Alex DeCorville.
Oh, that was you? Oh, I just fucking saw that. That was hilarious, dude. Like, I can't remember who I was with, but they're like, what is this? And I was like, this is fucking hilarious. They had no idea what it was. I was like, no, this is Matt Hardy. Like, it's fucking great. It was good. I saw that. That's great. That's awesome. I didn't know that was you.
Yes, I presented the list of things I would like to delete.
Oh, my God. Yeah, you did that at Toast, right?
Yes.
Oh, hell yeah.
I gotta give Savat credit. I've done a lot of sets where I was trying to impersonate someone. Like, I recently did an entire set impersonating Jerry Jaffe. And I swear, every time I do a set in a character, the person never lets the audience in on the joke. And this was most damaging when I did a set as my, I hate to spoil anyone's fantasies, but my fictional cousin Roy. And but nobody let it in on the joke that it was me doing my fictional cousin. But Savat actually did tell people that it was that I was doing the set as broken Alex DeCorville.
I like it.
Yeah, that's amazing.
The best person I've ever seen impersonate somebody was when at that last show I was on. What the fuck? I love it. Barry Perino.
Barry Perino did a
Bob Seger thing, and it was he did Night Moves by Bob Seger, but it was called Cat Poop.
I saw that.
It was brilliant. Like, at first, I'm, like, sitting there, and I'm like, what the fuck is going on? Like, a minute and a half in, I was like, this is the funniest thing I've ever fucking seen.
Yeah, I wanted to hate it.
Oh, me too. And you and me were standing next to each other, and we were fucking dying.
Yeah, I couldn't believe I liked that. It's, the magic happens sometimes,
yeah,
man.
Since you were talking porn earlier, one of my most famous sets is my Bob Dylan porn routine, which, I think it goes without saying why I can't do that at a lot of venues.
Well, yeah, Bob Dylan is a member of high regard in the community.
I mean, I was actually like my, you know, Chelsea, she's record store girl. She's like the end all be all on like what's good and what's not. And like, she totally gets my thoughts on Bob Dylan. Like, the dude wrote a good record and he wrote some good songs. He's highly overrated. I mean, like, I don't get why people, like, worship at the altar of Bob Dylan.
Have either of you guys seen Bob Dylan live?
I have not.
No.
I drove down to Columbus.
How did it feel?
Okay, well, first of all, you're giving Bob Dylan way too much credit because I could not understand a fucking thing he was saying. Not a thing. Like, the friend of mine that I was with, Dave, he nudged me like, hey, this is stuck inside of Mobile with the Memphis Blues again. I look up. It is. The only thing I could tell that he did was Highway 61. I couldn't tell you any other song that he did. I do know that a hippie chick, like, stood next to me, smiled at me, danced, and then rushed Bob Dylan trying to get his pants off.
Nice.
And that was, besides Brian Setzer Orchestra, that was the highlight of the
and
show.
I was going to say, what year was this?
98.
So Bob Dylan was like at least 50, 60?
Yeah, this was like, I want to say Time Out, no. I don't know if Time Out of Mind was his last album at the time. I don't remember.
He's got too many fucking albums. His career is too long.
It is. But it's important for a number of reasons. But, you know, I'd prefer listening to the...
Going back to the autograph thing is like, I remember that documentary that came out about him like 10 years ago or No Direction Home.
Yeah.
10, 15 years ago, which I think Scorsese might have done.
That was Scorsese.
And there's that video of him when he's in England and he's just sitting in that car and people are like bombarding the car, asking him for autograph. And he's like, no. And they're like, why not? He's like, because you don't need my autograph. If you needed my autograph, I'd give it to you, but you don't need it. And like that kind of has always been like a stand. Like if anybody ever, for whatever fucking reason, wanted to meet me, like I would do it. Like I wouldn't care. But like I understand like being constantly fucking bombarded. Like I wouldn't want to do it all the time either.
The only time. So far, the first time I've ever gotten recognized for doing stand-up, I was at Wizard World.
Oh.
I was taking my mom to meet Henry Winkler for her birthday. And
nice.
And to preface this, I was at Toast Place earlier that week, and I did a set where I mentioned Natalie Dormer, as I often do. And somebody sees me in line, they're like, hey, it's that Natalie Dormer guy.
That's awesome.
Yeah, and since I was with my mother, I was just thinking, oh, please do not repeat anything I said.
See, my mom, before she passed, came to a couple of shows, and she knew what I was doing. Like, the last show she saw of me, I opened for Lonnie Brune, who he did the Cripple X comedy tour. He was one of Stanhope's Unbookables, but he wasn't on the documentary. So, you know, he closed with a joke about fisting beer. So my mother knew what I was getting into. And he made a mess all over the place, and it was adorable. But have you ever, like, been hounded for your autograph after shows or anything like that?
No, not yet. That was that one instance is so far the first time I've been that and a few of the film premieres I've been to have been the times I've been recognized.
Okay. Have you been asked for your autograph before,
James? Not asked for my autograph, but I mean, there's been two occasions where I've been at bars and somebody's called me Hordano and I've had people be like, are you Hordano Diablo? Hey, I like your podcast. Like that's happened twice, but no, not any autograph. No.
Yeah. It's weird because it's happened.
If somebody asked me, I'd be like, why?
When I did the Acting Out show this past year, they asked me to sign like a whole bunch of posters, which it's like, yeah, sure. Like, you know, you just.
How much you paying me?
Well, they paid me for the show.
I know. So, I'm just kidding.
I got into a tiff with somebody because they're like, you're doing a charity show. Why are you bringing merch to sell? I'm like, because I usually get paid for charity shows and you're not paying me. So fuck you. I'm selling merch.
Did you sell any merch?
Yeah.
Good.
Of course I did. I was great. But the other time that I've been asked to sign something was like my first year. I don't remember when. But this girl came to the show and got super drunk and took her clothes off and insisted that everybody on the show sign her body. Then I tried to post that picture on Cleveland Yucks and they deleted it immediately.
Most recent thing I got the chance to autograph was I acted in a movie called The Ninth Room. Okay. And my director asked me to sign the poster. Being a big Batman fan, I signed Alex Was Here and autographed that.
Yeah.
not quite the same as graffitiing approaching a city, but close enough.
I like it.
That's rad as fuck. So we've established that we're all into pretty similar artistic endeavors here. And a lot of that you can find on Tumblr. But it has a reputation for leaning a little too far left. So I know you don't like to get involved with politics too much, but how left is too left for you?
Well, anybody who knows my stuff, I mean, like, I won't say who it was, but somebody actually unfriended me because I made a Trump joke in my act. It wasn't even a serious Trump joke. I just made it. It's on my YouTube. I just made a joke about how Trump's presidency sounds like a joke you would hear on The Fresh Prince of Bel-Air.
Mm-hmm.
And I got unfriended because of that. I'm trying to find the best way to articulate this, but I do think a lot of these people can be a little I feel like some of these people live in a fantasy world with their politics. Like, as I make the joke in my stand-up act, I see these paragraph-long tirades involving some kind of politics, and I'm just thinking, good job, racism's clearly been solved because you made this little speech on Tumblr.
Oh no, everybody's a knight.
Yeah,
everybody's serving in King Arthur's court.
Yeah, it is that. I find that a lot. It's I think that's more of a consequence of all social media, because now you have a platform and you think that you have
a voice.
Yeah.
Yeah, I think that's kind of the way the issues have been come. I don't know. I don't think it's necessarily fair to blame social media for like people having opinions. I think it's just people now have a voice.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, and while we're on the subject, that's a set or a skit I've always wanted to do. The ultimate social justice warrior.
I mean, that should be something that you write up.
Look how fast he's typing.
Yeah. Ultimate. Oh, wait a minute.
Yeah, no, wait, were you not doing, yeah, were you, okay, you.
Yeah, so, face paint, long hair, running around, shaking ropes.
Okay,
as the
all right.
Ultimate,
oh, yeah, so,
social justice
all right,
warrior.
You know, absolutely. All right, that's where I was hoping you were going for it. It was like, but the way I view it is like people are like, look at him in this tight space, just typing all these words so fast. I think it'd be great.
That's not a him. He rejected. He rejected the gender binary.
Oh, I hope we lose listeners for that. That was great.
All right. I don't think we're going to top that.
No, I don't think so either. That was
Alex, where can everybody... You do a whole lot of stuff, man. Where can everybody find your work?
I have pages on Facebook, Instagram. I have a YouTube page. I have a website, alexdoesitall.com, where there are links to all those pages. Appropriately enough, you cannot find me on Tumblr.
Oh, yeah. That's, dude, I'll tell you, like, we talked a little business last week. Here's a little more business. If you get paid in advertising from impressions, Tumblr gets you a lot of impressions, so it's well worth your time to utilize that network. However, there's a lot of bullshit that happens on it. Well, thanks very much for coming on, Alex. We got to get to our sponsors as we are up against it. Shout out to Jess Falstich, who you can find every Sunday at the Avenue Tap House in Lakewood, Ohio. 7 o'clock p.m. show. The first Sunday of every month is open mic. Every other show is booked. You have missed your chance to see me there, unfortunately. I apologize. But I will be back, I'm sure, unless I did something to upset someone while I was there, which is a possibility.
That's always a possibility.
Also, Britt Fox, X Fox Rocks on the Instagram and Snapchat. She has a Tumblr, too. xfoxrocks.tumblr.com.
I've never made this challenge before, but like, if any of our listeners that do use Tumblr, if you can find my account, like if you can, and you'd have to email us, where?
TheHateFlow@gmail.com or Shear@LetTheHateFlowThroughYou.com or ElHordano@LetTheHateFlowThroughYou.com, which I realize is more letters to type, but I thought it was neat.
Yeah, no, it's pretty cool that we have our own at the LetTheHateFlowThroughYou.com. If you can find my Tumblr, like if you can pinpoint and be like, I know this is you, I'll buy you dinner.
All right. Well, the fatty will feed you. Go on a Tumblr hunt.
Yeah.
And, of course, Play the Stripper Herder, which is playthestripperherder.blogspot.com. It is a story of one man's journey in the strip club industry and all the hilarity that ensues. Jordan, I don't think we're going to find somebody that hates Tumblr as much as Alex DeCorville.
No, there is another. I won't apologize again. I'm a rampant offender. You can see right through my skin. I don't care about making mistakes. I keep standing up and falling on my face. Feed me nothing ages. Drag me to the ring. Another discharge vapor. Daniels is drunk in me.
This episode of Let the Hate Flow Through You is brought to you by Brent Fox.
It's your boy Jay Remy, Fat Woke Boys, Roast King of Cleveland, here to tell you about Akron's King of Underground Battle Rap, Dallas Cash. Dallas Cash, rising artist with debut fire single out now. He's got over 115,000 total views on Verse Tracker, winning battle after battle from Ohio to Cali. You can find him on iTunes and Spotify under I Like Dallas Cash, on Twitter at I Like Dallas Cash, or his website, IHateDallasCash.com. He's a complicated man. Find out more about him now before you have to pay for everything.
That's Brent Fox.
This has been the Lousy Weather Media Network production. Find new episodes and archives at lousyweathermedia.com.